Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, how it truly is bubbling in our hearts, Lord. Just a praise and a thanksgiving, Lord, in our hearts tonight. But Lord, we appreciate you so much. And we just love you and adore you, Lord, for all that you're doing in our lives. You know, many times I think, Lord, how the prophet said, we thank you for the things you have done and the things you're going to do, but we forget about what you're doing right now. And Lord, we're just so thankful by your word. We can see, Father, each day, step by step, Lord, you're leading us, guiding us, and we're drawing closer and closer to that finish line. Lord, finishing the course that you set before us as Paul had. And we pray, Lord, tonight as we come, Lord, may our hearts be open tonight, Lord, that we would just worship you truly from the bottom of our hearts, Lord, and that you would accept our worship and praise tonight. And bless our brother as he brings forth the word. Lord, may we be hungry, Lord, to receive revelation of that word. Yes. That we would draw closer to you, Father, and be pleasing in your sight. And we just give you all the glory and honor and praise in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. You happy tonight? Amen. Let's turn our capstone books over to page 5. I am determined to hold out to the end. Amen. May that be our desire, not to give up. Amen. When I first found Jesus, something o'er me rolled. Like lightning it went through me, and glory filled my soul. Salvation made me happy, and took my fears away. Sometimes you can't help it but to shout, and then maybe some people think you get too noisy, but I just want to make sure the Lord knows that I'm so thankful and happy for what he's doing in my life and what he's doing. Amen. Let's turn our Only Believe books over to 107. in that city where the Lamb is the light.
Yes,
oh, my. Oh, it's coming, Lord. Saints. He promised it. It'll come to pass. Amen. There's a country far beyond the starry sky. There's a city where there never comes a night. If we're faithful, we shall go there by and by. Amen. In that city where the land is alive. In that city where the land is alive. In that city where there cometh no night. I've a nation over there and it's free from toil and care. I am going where the land is alive. Here we have our days of sunshine, but we know sun which shines upon us now so bright will be changed to clouds and rain until we go. In that city where the land is alive. In that city where the land is alive. In that city where there cometh no night. I've a mansion over there. It's free from toil and care. I am going where the land is alive. There the flowers bloom forever and the day shall be one eternal day without a night. And our tears shall be forever wiped away. Oh, in that city where the land is alive. Disappointments all the while, and our fondest hopes but meet with bitter blight. Though by night we weep, the morning brings a smile. In that city where the Lamb is alive. In that city where the Lamb is alive. In that city where there cometh no over there, and it's free from toll and care. I am going where the Lamb is alive. Then let sunshine fade, let twilight bring its gloom. Not a shadow can my blissful soul apprise, for I know that up in heaven there is room. In that city where the Lamb is alive. In that city where the land is the light. In that city where there cometh no night. I've a mansion over there and it's free from toll and care. I am going where the land is the light. Oh, what a blessed day. Amen. What a day when we get there, saints. Not too long. We just got a few more days maybe to travel down here on the earth. But it's all going to change one of these days. Amen. Let's turn over to page 7 in the capstone. The unclouded day. Oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the skies. Oh, they tell me of a home far away. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm cloud tries. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Sky. Oh, the
shall be old, where he sits on the throne that is whiter than snow, in the city that is made of gold. Oh, the land of cloudless days, oh, the land of an unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, they tell me that he smiles on his children there, and his smile drives their sorrows all away. And they tell me that no tears ever come. In the lovely land of unclouded days, oh, the land of a cloudless day, oh, the land of an unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day.
Just looking forward to that day. Amen. Brother Hamilton, will you come and take the offering tonight? Amen.
Lord, we thank you for everything you've done for us and the desire you put in our hearts to love you and serve you and praise you.
Amen.
Pray to bless this service, bless this offering for that from your kingdom.
Amen. Let's sing that little chorus. Keep praising the Lord. Keep praising the Lord. Though the skies above are gray, keep praising the Lord. For the answers on the way, do not despair. Finley, will you take the prayer request?
Lord Jesus, such a privilege again to be here.
Yes,
Lord.
Dear Lord.
Feel the worship of the songs we sing, Lord, and just listen to your word, Father.
Yes, amen.
Lord, we just ask now that each hand that was raised, you know what was behind each hand.
Yes, dear Lord.
We ask that you would take care of it, Lord. The ones that's not here, couldn't be here, bless them, Lord, and give
yes.
them grace.
Amen. You may be seated. Anyone have a special tonight that you'd like to sing? Is the children? Okay, we'll ask them to come.
Thank you.
us all stand tonight. Let's sing our little chorus, Only Believe, as we ask our brother to come forth and bring what the Lord's laid on his heart. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe.
Just bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we truly count it such a great privilege to be here this evening. And with great joy, Lord, we have come in and be able to sing of what you have prepared for us, Lord, and where we're going. And Lord, we've just come again tonight, Lord, to have you speak to our hearts through the way of your word. Lord, just asking that you'll make it more real to us, Lord, and may it some way help us, Lord, strengthen us. Maybe cause us to press on just a little bit harder. Lord, but whatever it is, Lord, it's your word and it is inspired. And Lord, we just ask that you grant to us our portion tonight. Lord, even though I'm speaking, Lord, grant a greater reality into my heart, Lord, that it would be more pleasing to you. And we ask it all to your glory and your honor in the lovely, precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't you love him?
Amen.
Amen. While you're still standing, we're going to turn our Bibles over to the book of John, the 14th chapter. Amen. Am I too loud, Brother Suttles? Does it sound pretty? Amen. We've all got different voices, so microphones react a little different. So if it's too loud for any of you, just let us know after service, and we'll make sure next time that we turn it down a little bit. Amen. St. John, the 14th chapter. And here at the, I'd like to read the 26th verse of the 14th chapter of the book of John. Amen. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. May the Lord add the blessing to the reading of his word, and you may be seated.
Amen.
Amen. I pray the message from this morning is still burning in our hearts, and we're still dwelling upon it, thinking about it. You know, we're living in a special time, but yet a dangerous time, and yet a serious time. You know, I attended a little event yesterday, and a couple hundred people gathered in too, and, you know, looking around the room, and a lot of message followers, a lot. And, you know, we all, and I am, there I am, setting this, calling myself a believer. And you know, when you look around and you think that we all claim to believe a message, and you really stop and begin to look, as our brother said this morning, we're all nice people. But how many of us are truly taking to heart every word in which we've been heard? We're living in a time of the full word, every word. And not just, I'll take this and leave that. But it's got to be the entire word of God. And it's got to be a manifestation and a vindication that's proved out through our hearts and in our lives. And the precious word, I believe, is doing. The Holy Spirit is stressing that. And as I was checking up, you know, my own life, I can see things that has got to be done differently. And, you know, God just dealing with my heart, and pray he'll continue to deal with my heart and make these words more real. But I'd like to read some things that the prophet said here tonight, just many things we've heard before, but I'd like to bring back to our attention. And I'm going to start here in the message, God's Provided Place of Worship, preached April 25th, 1965. And I'm going to start here on page 16, about paragraph 111, or 110 rather. Now we find that in each age, when God said a certain thing would happen, here come that man along and manifested that. And here come their people along and lived it. That was God himself living in the people because it was an answering of his word. Now God's only provided and only provided plan today in his son through his word for this age, quickened by the spirit of his life, quickened. And we have great schools of theology, and many times when we do that, nothing against it, certainly not. But you see, when you got a school of theology, Jesus said in St. John 4, the time is coming, and now is, when God, being a spirit, will be worshipped in spirit and in truth. Now some people have spirit and no truth. Others has truth and no spirit. So it's just like if we had a big car and we were going somewhere in a Cadillac, and both Cadillacs was made just alike. And we pushed them out here, and we up to the tanks, we filled them both with gasoline. And you can crank and crank, and you look out there and say, the seat is all right. The steering wheel is pretty. It's got diamond studs in it. Plush to sit in. Sets pretty. And you could sit back and go to sleep. Oh, a lot of things you could do, each one. But you see, one of them, all of them has the right mechanics, but one of them has the dynamics. You see, you might know the mechanics, but it takes the dynamics to start off the mechanics to make them work. And that's what's the matter with the church today. We're full of theology without any dynamics in it. That's right. In other words, you've got to have spark to the gasoline, or the gasoline is no more. It's not even as good as water as long as it hasn't got a spark to fire it. So that's the way. No matter how well we're taught, how well we believe, and how much of the Bible that we say is true, and we believe it all true, it's got to be, the dynamics has got to be there, that spark to set that word afire and make it start rolling. It's got to have that. If you don't, the church sits still, the car sits still, you'll sit still. But no matter how much you say, I sympathize, I believe every word of that, you've got to have something to spark that off, to make that 100 octane go to firing and that big church of God go to moving on. It's got to take the dynamics with the mechanics. And how we can see that. The mechanics is here, the word. It's laying here. And we've heard it, and many of us has been raised up around it as I said and looked at how long we've been reading the prophet's message. How long we've heard this, and how many of us was raised in this message. We were taught from our youth to be respectful to our parents, to respect our elders, the right way to go, the way we've been taught and trained well. We've received and can live our lives. We're nice people. We've raised up to that point in our lives. But there's a place that's got to come to where it's no longer what we can do on our own, or what I can do by my remembrance. But it's got to come to where the Comforter that was, he said when he would come, he would bring all things to our remembrance and teach us all things and guide us into all truths, whatsoever he had spoken unto us. And how that, when that is taking place in our life, it's every word that will be vindicated. Every word becomes manifested. And there's nothing left out, nothing left undone. It looks good here, but there's one black spot over here. Maybe we got three nice hubcaps and then the other ones just fell off. It's missing. It's not the way that it should be. But that's what God is trying to show us through his precious word. He said he would have a bride without spot or blemish. She would be in his image and reflect his character. And as each one of us gather in, are we seeing that? Is that enthusiasm still burning in our hearts? Is there still that great desire and pulsating in our life? Yes, we come to church. But is there an enthusiasm and a pulsation in our church to be exactly what he said to be? To be that different, that oddball, that people that is called out and separated from all unbelief. Letting nothing taint us or mingle and keep us from becoming exactly. Maybe having a thought or an idea, I think I can go ahead and do it this way, when the word is plainly give us our directions. Not, I can let this happen, I can let this go. But it's got to come back to every word. Is that enthusiasm burning in our heart? Our desires, our brother prayed this morning, thanking God for that desire. That's the desire. It's wonderful to come to church, but is that desire truly burning and pulsating every day of our life to see our bodies changed in the moment of twinkling of an eye, reflecting him and his fullness? He said, made it live for its day. Martin Luther had the mechanics and the dynamics in his day. John Wesley had them for his day. And Pentecost had them with their day. But what about our day? This is another time. The church should be fully grown now, ready to go meet Christ with the manifestation of every blessing that he promised in the Bible operating in that one great body where he promised that he would meet people and be worshiped in this great church of his. But you see, we send our kids away to school. We learn reading, writing, arithmetic, and all the history of the prophets and everything. That's all right. But unless you've got something behind that, you say, well, I shouted, I spoke with tongue. That's good. I believe that too. But that's not what I'm talking about yet. You see, it'll splutter. You say, plank, plank, boom, boom, like an old car trying to start. You say, yeah, I believe this and I believe that too. But when it comes to this, them days, oh, no, no. She's 100 octane, brother. With the right kind of generator behind her, it'll fire every word of God to its promise. That's right. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And each one of us has got to look at our lives and ask ourselves in a sincerity, do I see Jesus Christ made the same today as he was yesterday in my life in every promise? Do I have that confidence our brother was speaking of this morning that if I ask, I know I'm going to receive? And if I say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and doubt it not in my heart, I know I can have what I ask for. Amen. Do we have that kind of a faith yet? If we don't, we need a revelation. Amen. And we can see the higher heights that God is calling a people to. Amen. But it's not just the mechanics is not going to get us there. But it's going to take the mechanics with the dynamics of fulfilling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen. Something that's truly setting on the control seat of our hearts. To bring us to the last mile of the way. Amen. He says here, I say something about, well, I don't, the Bible said so, that settles it. If God said so, it's there to be done. If that's what God said do, we've got to do that. Just stay there till God fires it off directly. You start running again then, see? If you don't, you get the plugs all smothered up and we need something different. We need something to fire us off. Then notice, not only does he come in by the Holy Spirit with the learning of his word? He manifests that word. Remember, the prophets believed the word. They received the word of God. And God, the Holy Spirit, came into them and fired that promise out and made it come to pass. Oh my, who is going to condemn that? Jesus said, who can condemn me of sin? Sin is unbelief. Whatever God wrote and whatever the prophets said, I am the answer. What they said I'd do, he's the same as the prophet, the Son of Man. That's exactly what he was. And that's what he proved to be. And he was. Why? The dynamics was there to fire off the mechanics. He was the mechanics, the Son himself. And the Father was the dynamics. It's not me that doeth the works. It's my Father that dwelleth in me. And I want you to look at that. The Spirit moving within him brought his body under subject to every word that was spoken of him. He overcame every obstacle that was placed in front of him. He lived his life out before people and they could see and recognize that he was different. That there was, as Nicodemus said, Master, we know thou art a teacher sent from God. Amen. It was recognized in his life that there was he was real. There was something there. And is that what people were seeing in you and I? We claim to be message believers. And then we gather around and many people see us. But is there something in our lives that stands out that shows we're more than just a claim? More than just, can they look at us and say, yes, I see something more real in that person? It may not be this church. It may only be individuals. But can they see that individual Christ living in our hearts and in our lives, making us more than what we can ever be in ourselves or what we could ever want to be? But it takes the Holy Spirit to make this word live. We can learn it intellectually. We can raise up with it. And under sanctification, we can go a long way and clean up our lives. The prophet showed us all these things. But if it's still lacking, if we still can't overcome those things, as our brother was speaking this morning, things in our lives that still just seem to be there. It don't matter how old we are or how long we've been in this message. We still need a new birth that will change our lives and set us on the right course. And that comes with being honest with ourselves and being honest with God. It don't matter how many times we were patted on the back, how many times we shouted, danced in the spirit, maybe shook under the anointing. It has no bearing on it. It's got to be a life lived 100% for Jesus Christ and him alone. Amen. And it's a life we can't live ourselves. From the young to the old, it'll make a young person obey their parents. It'll make parents correct their children. It'll make wives be subject to their husbands. It'll make husbands rule their homes. It'll bring every word of God into line, long-suffering, brotherly kindness. It'll be there with Christ's character. And it won't be one way or the other, but it'll be right down the road the way God wants it to be. Amen. But that's what we want. Do we have an enthusiasm for that? Or do we just want the jumping and the shouting and the singing, the praise that goes with it? But when it comes to living a life, it's not there. Oh my saints, many people have took the shaking under the anointing and the singing and all filling that presence and filling that genuine anointing to be all that they need. But it goes far beyond that. When Jesus Christ walked up Calvary's hill, there wasn't no rejoicing taking place. There wasn't no uplifting music and no carrying on. But in his darkest trial, what was holding him? The word that he knew that he was. What he had spoken to him, he was fulfilling. Amen. And it held him firm through his hardest trial. And it's the same with us. No matter what we go through in this life, this word will hold us if it's anchored deep inside. Amen. Hearing the message, turn on the light. Amen. Let me see here. This was preached on January 25th, 1964. I'm going to start here about paragraph 156, I believe it is. And Brother Branham telling a little story. Just reminds me of a fellow in Florida not long ago, paragraph 156. He was talking, said he had a Chevrolet car that went out on him in Florida. Said he took it to the garage, and the mechanic was going along there, and he got everything set together, and he couldn't get it to start. And he put everything in it that he could. He renewed all these different things, something and another, but it just wouldn't work. And he couldn't get it started, and he kept trying and trying. And saints, take it as more than a story. Apply it to your life. If this is you, if this is me, maybe I've got something that I need to overcome, and I'm just trying, and I'm trying, and I'm trying, but it's still there. Maybe year after year, that same old thing is still there. Just listen. He says he couldn't get it started, and he kept trying and trying. The little mechanic was nervous, and he run around all over the building picking up this. And the man standing saying, "I'm waiting on my car, sir. I'm late. Can't you get it?" Amen. And Jesus is waiting. He's waiting for us to get to that place that we need to become, where he can take us home. Amen. We're not waiting on him. He's waiting on us. Amen. And the man said, "I'm waiting on my car, sir. I'm late. Can't you get it?" He said, "I'm doing all I can do." Real nervous and carrying on. And he walked along. And directly a well-dressed gentleman walked up and looked at him a few moments. And he said to the mechanic, after he let him butt his head around a little while, he said, "Why don't you just touch this? You're not getting any current." And he said, "I never thought of that." So he just turned that other little thing, whatever it was there. And he got the current in and the car started. And he turned around and he said, "Who are you?" He said, "You know who he was? The chief engineer of the General Motor. He made the thing. He designed it." And as our brother was preaching there the other night, do you know him? Amen. Do you know? And we stand today. In this hour, brother, we wonder what's the matter with our revival. What's the matter? We got material and everything. We got the mechanics. But where is the dynamics that we need to move Jesus Christ in on the scene? What's the matter? I'll tell you. There is one here today, hallelujah, called the Holy Ghost, that can touch the dynamics. He is the dynamics of the mechanics. And we stand today as Pentecostals, one of the greatest churches in the nation, thousand times thousands added each year. And where is that Holy Ghost? We've accepted by speaking in tongues, and we've seen how it's acted. Methodist accept it by shouting. Luther accepted it by faith, and so forth like that. But that isn't it. It's the word. It's the word turned on. The light turns on the mechanics, and they become dynamics. And their dynamics, when the dynamics come to the mechanic, it starts. And the thing's rolling right. That's right. Take the word. If there's one little thing messed up on it, it won't start. But lay aside every weight, every ism, every creed, that the dynamics, the Holy Spirit might flow through the word and vindicate that word that's promised of this day. Then the great church of God will rise to her feet like a jet-propelled plane and take off to the skies to meet her master. That's exactly right. But until we do that, it won't work. And I wonder tonight, as we've gathered in and we begin to take God's word and to study it and to look at it, and we hear these messages coming forth, do we just sit here as a people that's hearing another message, as our brother has said? Or is that burning truly down on the inside of us? Are we that nervous little person that's just can't get no happiness? We can't be satisfied? There's something always in me that's creating turmoil. It's making me unhappy and grumpy over here, and I just can't seem to get no peace. There's an answer for it, saints. Amen. And God's word has been coming graciously, trying to show us the right way, the place we need to stand. It's speaking to me. It's speaking to you. It's showing each and every one of us that there's a higher plane in Jesus Christ. There's a place to reach that we haven't reached yet, a plane of understanding that maybe we're lacking. And are we truly, as our brothers opened this morning, are we seeking for that? Are we asking God for that revelation that's going to bring that faith to my heart that will change this body one of these days? It's like stepping stones. And it takes every word to make it happen in our hearts and in our lives. But what if I can't see that I have a need? What if I don't feel I have a need? That's what the Holy Spirit's trying. The rocks are coming. It's trying to catch our attention. Wake up. Where is that revival that should be in the heart of the bride? There is no revival in the land. There is no revival of great big churches coming together for meetings. But there should be a revival burning in our hearts. A pressing, an earnest that's pushing, driving us to that place of every word being exactly what Jesus Christ wants it to be. Amen. But are we feeling that, saints? Is that what's burning in our hearts, or is it just we come to church and we hear the pastor and it just becomes, oh, he's preaching on this again. He's preaching on that again. Or is it the Holy Spirit dealing with our hearts? Lord, so I must be shorter. This wouldn't be touching on my toes. Because if it comes down, somebody's been talking to the pastor again. Somebody's been telling him this. The Holy Spirit knows all things. And oh, he knows you. He knows me from the inside out. He knows what I have need of. He knows what you have need of. And he knows where we stand on that great ladder. And oh my, may we open up our hearts to him with welcomeness and say, Lord, fill me so full. Give me a revival if necessary. Renew me, oh Lord, whatever it takes, Lord. Bring me back to a place where I would be a firebrand for you, oh Lord. Not caring what's going on in this life. We have jobs. And as time goes on, it just seems like Satan always has a way to try to keep raising things up to make it harder for this or harder for that. Throw obstacles in your way. Just trying to do all he can to dissolve God's plan. But God said, and if you follow the word that God has laid out to us and keep in prayer, God will make a way for us. Amen. Amen. But oh, we must remember God's word means exactly what it says. And it will do exactly what it says in our life if we get in the right condition. That little grain of corn, it can't help itself. You place it in the ground in the right condition and put the right amount of moisture and water to it and let the sun come out. And it can't do nothing but grow and reproduce itself. You can't stop it from happening. God predestinated it to be so, and he predestinated us to be part of those sons and daughters that was going to reproduce him in this hour. And oh my, may it be burning in our heart to be everything he asked us to be. Oh, may we truly cry out to God, Lord, fill us to overflowing. I know the rough road gets rough and long, and maybe some of us may have a lot harder tests and trials than others. But oh, let's not be satisfied with where we're at, but God is more than able. This place can truly shake with the power of God that shook the jail that Paul and Silas was in. But we have got to be a people that want to be in that condition. A people that want to live that close to Jesus Christ. It may take some cleaning up of our homes and throwing out a few more things that we thought maybe we could hang on to. It might take a little more cleaning up in our lives. But how close do we want to live, and what do we want God to do for us? Do we want to be that people of the book of Acts, or do we just want to be churchgoers? That's the question each one of us holds dear. It's up to you as an individual which category we're going to fall into. But God has got so much more than we're taking from him. But we can have so much more. But oh my, it's got to be a people in a condition. We're not just coming to church, but we're coming to meet with the King of Kings. And when we come here, he is holding the keys of life in his hands. And oh my, if we'll open up our hearts and ask him and come in the right condition in humility, God can move so great in our hearts. Amen. Just want to refresh your minds to this. And this, who is this Melchizedek? It's been read many times. Amen. February 21st, 1965. Start here at... Amen. Paragraph 74. But look, when this body receives the Spirit of God, the immortal life inside of you, it throws this body in subjection to God. He that's born of God doth not commit sin. He cannot sin. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There you are. See, it throws your body subject. You don't have to say, oh, if I could just quit drinking. If I could just quit. Oh, and you can put anything that's troubling you in that sentence. Anything. You don't have to say, if I could just quit drinking, just get in Christ. It's all gone, see, because your body is subject to the Spirit. Amen. It's no more subject to the things of the world. They're dead. And your sins are buried in baptism, and you're a new creation in Christ. Amen. And your body becoming subject to the Spirit to try to live the right kind of life. Like you women claiming you got the Holy Ghost, going out here wearing shorts and things. How could you do it? And how we must apply it to our life. And anything that we know is contrary to God's word that we can't overcome, we've got to place it in that sentence and be honest. Because till we're honest with ourselves and with humility before God, Lord, I must have come up to sanctification, but if I can't overcome this one thing that keeps blocking me, Lord, this one thing that's standing in my way, then Lord, something is still missing in my life. Because when the word comes, if I had a revelation of it, it would throw this body subject to that word and it would be overcome in my life. Amen. Going out of here wearing shorts and things, how could you do it? How could the Spirit of God in you ever let you do such a thing as that? It just can't be so. Certainly it can't be. He's not a filthy spirit. He's a Holy Spirit. And then when you become subject to that Spirit, it throws your whole being subject to that Spirit. And that Spirit is nothing in the world but this seed word made manifest or quickened. Hallelujah, made alive. And when the Bible said, don't do this, that body quickly turns to it. There is no question. And oh my, may that ring in our ears that God said. He didn't fill words and he didn't fill space. But may we truly take that and apply it to our life. And may we study that out and ask God. I don't know about you, but I want God to truly refill me. There's nothing left, no more room left. Set me on fire like I've never been before. Lord, make me something that you can use in your hand. Not for my benefit, not for my glory, but for his glory. He loved me when I was nothing. He's brought me this far. How much more should I be willing to give my life to him for every day that he gives me breath and life and strength to get up and all the blessings that he, extra blessings that he's blessed us with in this life? How great is our God? But oh, are we hungry to see his work finished? Or are we just living an American life, an American dream? We're going on, we're building homes, we got fine jobs, we're wanting to get this, we want to go on vacation here, want to do this or that. But is it down inside, the main objective of our life is to see Jesus Christ manifested and made alive and real and manifested to a people that they could see that he's here. Amen. I don't know about you, but I pray that's the desire of every heart. And I pray that each one of us is longing greater for God to have the full preeminence of our lives. Here in the message, this is the world is again falling apart. November 27th, 1963. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. He says, today we've studied the mechanics until it's all mechanical. What good is the automobile without something in it to drive it? What good is the lights or the fixtures to drive it if there is no current to go into it, see? We got all the mechanics. We got schools and educators and so forth that can train a man till he can stand in the pulpit with such manners, yes, till he's an eloquent person. That still don't bring the power of God. Where is the power of God that used to be in the church? Where is that Pentecostal blessing that used to flow through the churches? That's the reason our world is falling apart, because we've got away from the real principles of God, yes, and educated men into systems and things. That's what got us into the condition we are today. And I believe that's the reason our world is falling apart. And this world is falling apart, but God said he would have a little bride in the midst of that chaos. And oh my, of all these churches, he said he would call a bride. And oh my, there may be many that claim, but oh, may we be a people that want God to be first in our lives. That first love burning strong. That joy and peace, long-suffering, all of these things, all that he was, he poured into that church and how it should be reflected back through us. But I pray that's the desire of our hearts is, Lord, fill me. Amen. To the overflowing. And renew me, Lord. Renew me in the Spirit that by the renewing of my mind, I would be transformed. Amen. That this precious word would grab a hold of my heart and my life. Maybe there was a time I was really on fire. And maybe I've just slacked off a little bit. Maybe I've let cares of life weight me down. And maybe I haven't given my all to the Lord like I should. Let a new determination rise in our hearts. May God stir it in our hearts as we sang the little song, I am determined to hold out to thee. And may it be new and fresh in our hearts. And may it kindle in our hearts, not just another church service, but may that Holy Spirit kindle it, whether you're laying on your bed at night, walking throughout the day. May it bring that burning into our hearts and into our lives. Maybe you've never experienced it, and maybe you know you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. How bad do you want it, or are you content not to have it? Content to go through life just expecting, oh, I'll get it one day. Tomorrow might be too late for He's coming back for a people. Whether it's here or there, somebody is going to be fulfilling this word. And we pray that one of us in here is going to make it, but it don't have to be that way. God's sovereign. He predestinates and chooses who He will. We might just be filling space and time. But oh, as long as there's breath in this body, I'll serve Him. Amen. And may He take control of our hearts and in our lives. But oh my, don't think just because we go to this little church, we're the only ones and we're all God cares about. God's got little bride everywhere and He's watching over. You may look over here and say, oh, we're so much better than them. Look at that. But one word missing out of my life, one word missing out of your life, we're no different than somebody that's missed the whole boat. We're no different a sinner. Oh my, saints, may we cry out to God. Lord, let me be a real, genuine Christian. Make it real in our hearts, Lord. Amen. Let's all stand if you would. Let's sing that little chorus, Jesus Use Me. Amen.
Jesus Use Me. Oh Lord, please don't refuse me. Surely there's a work that I can do. And
trusted everything He said tonight. Truly have found a good ground in our hearts. Amen. Saints, I really honestly believe we are coming to the very end. I believe that with all my heart. The Word of God has been preached for years and years. We've heard many things. Listened to the prophet's messages. Studied the Word. Prayed. All these things. And now it's come to the proving time, to what we really are, what we're really going to do with this that we've been given. I trust that every one of us will see the importance of it and see the reality in our hearts being lived, manifested of what we've heard. Oh my. That everything we do in life will be lined up through that. I know sometimes we probably really don't still realize it. But a lot of our troubles is of why we won't come to these places that our brother spoke of tonight. Is because there's too much junk. Too much ease. Too easy to get things. Nice places to live. Nice automobiles to get there and back and forth. There's so much of it. And it's so easy for people to get their minds on it and be distracted. But I trust we'll be able to push that distraction aside. And you really watch what that prophet, the example that he gave. My. And you look at all of them down through the ages. When they truly come to reality of God in their life, they weren't worried about the things of this life. It all lost its value. Yes, we have to have a home to live in. We have to have automobiles to get back and forth. All these different things that is actual necessities. Yeah, got to have. Got to have jobs. But we can't let any of it distract us. Nothing. It's got to be as though we have nothing. And that what we do have, it's borrowed. We don't own anything. They don't one of us own anything. Absolutely. But when we begin to think it's ours, and mine, and this, that, and the other, why? It's the wrong way to think. Because we don't own anything. And may that, just that little secret alone, be dipped in our heart. Forget about it. Remember, the scripture tells us the things that are seen are temporal. Amen. The things that are unseen, though, are eternal. Amen. Our fine clothes we see, our automobiles we ride in, the homes we have over our head, it's all temporal. Yeah. That's why we got to keep fixing them, keep them from falling to the ground, because it's temporal. Moth and rust doth corrupt. Rot. It ain't gonna last anyway. I wish I could get that through some people's head and say it's a simple way. If I could, they'd be better off tonight what they're into now. The troubles and problems. They could just get that part. So many people don't want to separate to serve God. They'd rather have all that than to serve God. But friends, when all that gets in the road of serving God, it's time to get rid of it. Yeah. Time to get rid of it. If it hinders you in anything of serving God, get rid of it. It ain't worth it. Nope. I don't care what it is. What's my living? It's this, it's that. We've got all kind of excuses. But if it hinders you serving God, get rid of it. Amen. Well, if I had done that, I'd have to dig ditches. Well, dig ditches. I ain't taking that kind of nonsense. It's all what's in your heart. Absolutely. It's all what's on the inside. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we've enjoyed that precious word tonight so greatly. So thankful, Lord, that we've been here to receive it. As I said this morning, I say again, Lord, it's been these last few weeks it seems to be so much more important to me. Thank you again, Lord, for desire. And throughout the land, we see so many that doesn't have. Lord, what a blessed people there is if they have it. I trust, Lord, that you will fill every one of us here with it. These young people, fill them with that precious desire, that holy desire. That, Lord, they'll give their bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you, which is truly a reasonable service. Help all of us, middle age and old, to have the same desire. our brother already mentioned, Lord, that it doesn't make no difference how old we are. You've filled older people with the Holy Ghost. Lord, as we've heard many people say, and as we talked about this morning also, Brother Billy Paul, how his life was, he explained how it was before he really was filled with the Holy Ghost. And seeing all that he saw, and yet didn't have the desire to serve you, Lord. It almost seems impossible that a person could do that. But Lord, it's not impossible. If you don't give us that desire, Lord, and place you a part of yourself within us, your word will mean nothing to us. What we see in the supernatural will mean nothing to us. What we would see you do in other people's lives of overcoming and becoming Christ-like would mean nothing to us. But Lord Jesus, I trust that all of us will be able to see these things and see it in our own life. See you overcoming in our life. Bring these bodies under subjection. It's getting close, Lord. I pray now that you'll bless each one of us and again bring us back the next appointed time if you should tarry. And keep us in your precious word, and may we truly keep thee always before us. We sin not against thee. I trust, Lord, those words have become a greater reality. Grant that now in our lives. In your precious holy name we ask, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I appreciate him.
Amen.
Do you?
Amen.
Amen. I trust we all do. Amen. Now, please do let Brother Timothy know if you're still not hearing good enough or the recordings is not loud enough to hear. He's working with it very hard and trying to get those things straightened up, but let us know if it's still not working. And let us know if the, because things was changed around on the organs and things, or the piano and the sound. If it's still too loud, let us know. Try to work with things, you see, because we want everything to please the Lord, and we want everything to be in a way that'll be comfortable for you. Amen. And we're trying to work with the thermostat. It didn't work out like it was planned on so far, but the man's supposed to come back and work with it again. So we're trying to work with it, so it just varies just a little bit to keep the temperature the same, so it ain't up and down so far and temperature-wise. So trust we'll be able to get that worked out for you too. We want you to be as comfortable as you possibly can, so that when you listen to the word, you'll not be distracted. And your heart and affections will be centered on things above, but not on things of the earth. Amen. So let us know if you have anything at all that you maybe can't hear right still or anything. And like I said, I know I'm a poor one to make my voice go out, but it's just the way I am. Amen. And as I told you last week, whatever, to try to scream and talk loud, I guess, is to say, I'd feel like I was trying to put on. But I'd rather have my voice, and actually, Brother Branham said something on a message I was listening to, and it made me think, and maybe it'll be a little clue for us to help make it come out right. I don't know, but it just happened to catch my thoughts when he said it. But if it helps too, I was going to mention your brothers tonight, if it helps too to have a microphone just for recording, and then one for the sound, we could try that. But it's the way some of them have it set up, is one just for recordings, and that can be adjusted better. I don't know if we've got the means to do that. I don't know. But like I said, I've heard so many complaints that people can't hear the messages. But I think that's coming around. Amen. So trust that you'll, you know, bear with us as we continue to work on that. And maybe we've got it now. I don't know. But just so you know, we are working on it, because we hear a lot of complaints about it. Amen. Hear complaints about the sound in here, and then the music played too loud or not loud enough. But I know one thing, it's hard to please everybody.
Yes.
My, I tell you, it's very hard. And just like temperature, it's hard. I mean, as individuals, be more understanding, you know. If you're chilly, then bring an extra sweater, like jacket, you know. That would help a lot, because some people are hot wads, you know. Some are cold wads. So it's hard to meet it for everybody. It really is. But believe me, as a pastor, sometimes you get tired of hearing it. You know, you think, wow, what do they do in the jungle? What do they do in the bush? And then all the heat, not only the heat and humidity, they got all these flies all over them, you know? And I'm sitting there still listening to that message, you see? But sometimes we just got it too easy. And some people just, you know, if their body ain't just in the right position, they're not happy, you know? If the temperature ain't just right, and the sound ain't just right, and everything ain't just right, I know I got to be careful what I'm saying, because then you won't say what the problem is. You won't say if it's too loud or not loud enough. But I'm just saying, we've got it too easy. Honestly, we do. Every one of us. We've had too easy. Probably ain't nobody here ain't got air conditioning. I'm sure we probably just about all got air conditioning. We probably all got heat. I'm sure we got heat, you know. And we wear thermostats out, trying to get it where we want it to be, 5 minutes from that. Especially if you got a wife that's got hot flashes, you know. My, it gets a little rough sometimes. Amen. But we make it through. Amen. You just get comfortable and then the thermostat goes way up. Whew. Boy, I hope she has a cold flash, you know. But I guess that's just the way it is, you know. But work with us. But we want you as comfortable as possible you can be. Amen. Don't mean to take away from the message tonight. I just want to make sure we're open for any suggestions. Amen. Amen. All right. Brother Timothy.
Just so everybody's aware, the piano is now coming out of the speaker on the left side of the church by Sister Karen. So if you're sitting on the front bench, you might hear it different than you used to hear it. And that's for Sister Karen to be able to hear the piano so she can play the organ. So I've got it toned down. We worked with it, I think, tonight. Actually sounded pretty good. We were a little loud this morning at the start. But definitely want your feedback. But just bear in mind that that speaker is on, so I can turn the speaker down itself. And basically, if you're playing the piano, anyone that would play the piano or the organ, either one for a service, we turn the speakers around so you can't hear the piano and the organ if you're setting at them like you used to be able to.
Mm-hmm.
The sound is coming to the
I noticed it's a lot better for me back
so
here.
For Brother D-Long setting his seat. Yeah. So it's going to take a little bit of adjustment, but we're working. So keep us in mind, and if you have any suggestions, we're always open.
Amen. I know there's times sitting behind her playing. Honestly, my ear drums would vibrate. You know, I mean, I could just actually feel them shaking. But it's just because I was right behind her here, you know. And that made it a lot better for me, but I want to make sure it's better for you. Nothing else, I'll come down there and sit, you know. I can work with this thing. It doesn't bother me. I can do a little bit of anything. But I just want to make sure you people are comfortable. Amen. I love you people. I trust that you love me. I trust you'll be long-suffering with me. Oftentimes, I may get a little rough and a little hard sounding, but there's a great responsibility to get your people in. Amen. And I long with all that's in me to get you in. I want to make sure everything is right, you know. You know, just like old Brother Pitts that comes here. He drives all that distance. There's churches all around him he could come or go to. For some reason, he really likes it here. Pray God will bless him, you know, strengthen him, and may we be an encouragement to him somehow. You know, the brother knows a lot. I mean, he was with Brother Vail for quite a few years. And Brother Vail, a great theologian, very smart, very high words that I wouldn't know what they mean, you know. But he feels this is where he wants to come, you know. And he told me, he said, today, he said, I've never been anywhere where I've been treated with hospitality like I have here. I said, well, that's good. You know, may God bless you. May we be a blessing to him, you know, and blessing to each other. May whoever it is that comes along, above all things, may they see Christ. Jesus Christ living in the people. May they see people that's not hypocrites. people that are in love with Jesus Christ. Amen. Surrender to Him. Yielded to the Holy Spirit. To live the way He wants us to live. Amen. I long for the day for the Lord Jesus to appear. Amen. I'm young. No old man by no means. But I long for the day for the appearing of the Lord Jesus. Long for the day to lay this life down. Seems there's nothing left other than serving God, and that's it. But you know, there's a greater place that we're going to go to, and how my heart longs for it. For there's nothing in this life worth anything but Jesus Christ and all that's connected to Him. Outside of that, there's nothing worth living here for. The world has become nothing but a tremendous Sodom and Gomorrah. Corruption, ungodliness, filth, hatred, envy, and strife. But oh, there's a fair land beyond the river. Amen. I long to reach that place. My heart cries out for it. God keeps His word. You keep you. May you serve Him with all that's in you. Don't waste what He has given you, but use it wisely. Count it a blessing, because what He has given you is truly a blessing. Everything. He has given you life. Has given you everything. Appreciate Him for it. There's so many that don't have what you have. Be thankful, saints. For all things, be thankful. Amen. May the Lord Jesus richly bless you. Until we meet again, God's peace be with you. Amen. Just my son.